and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled up to my Chevrolet. I climbed out up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key. But the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem. For the next 2 hours, we're going to have lots of fun. We're going to be right on the border of jail time. So if you want to talk about cars, now's the time to call in because the lines are wide open. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. And any kind of car question you've got, we have got some people here in the studio. We've got Bob and Ellen Frisbee. They are the owners of Larry Harker's Auto Repair. I've been telling you about them for a long time. From Camelback South to the 10, from the 101 on the west side to I-17, that's their territory. They pull from all areas, but that's really an area that they hold down on our list because nobody else is in there but them. So if you're kind of a west sider and you're looking for the great garage and you're not happy with yours, then Larry Harker's would be it. So good morning, Ellen. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing this morning?
Good, good, good. Has Bob been behaving himself?
No.
Okay, we'll discuss that.
That
just
was
a few
awful
minutes.
Quick. Didn't even see her think about it. Okay.
Well, it's the way it is. It's just the way it is. So, how's biz?
Been good. Been good. I can't complain at all.
Well, that's
been
good.
Busy.
All right. What I'm going to skip the very beginning here because they're brought to you by is by Larry Harker, so I'm not going to do that. So we're going to talk about here's your test for the day. I know I had you worried all day long for this test.
I don't do good on tests.
All right. All right. It's a Dodge pickup. It's a 96 Dodge pickup. It has a cam and crank sensor code. The signal's lost. It starts and runs, but then it stalls and it runs terrible. It pops, spits, and sputters. Now, this is what the customers replaced. The timing chain, the crank sensor, the cam sensor, the entire distributor, spark plugs, cap, rotor, and he's tried two different PCMs.
We've had tremendous problems with the wiring harnesses, so okay, we would start testing that first.
This thing ate our lunch for like 4 days.
Oh.
And you know how it is. You can't bill $800 a day.
Yeah.
You can't.
We've been there.
So either you adopt this truck because it gets your goat, and it's called testosterone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I agree.
It's one of those things where you just don't want to say, Mr. Jones, we can't find what's wrong with your truck. So it got passed around the shop, and nobody could figure it out. And it didn't ever run good. It was and it came in as a no start. And we found some wiring in no crank. We found some wiring down at the transmission at the neutral safety switch that was defective. So we fixed that. And we got it to crank and start, but it ran terrible. So I say to them at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're done. Okay, we've ridden our white horse to the tune of $2,000, $3,000 worth of labor. We're not going to bill it. We can't bill it. We haven't fixed it. We're done. And so Eddie comes over, my shop foreman, and he goes, I just want another hour on it. And I said, that's what you said the last 4 or 5 days. He says, I just want another hour. And I says, okay, that's it. Four o'clock, you're out of there. Okay. So he goes over and he says to Todd, or Louie, who's got the thing, he says, what really bothers me is when we're watching the cam and the crank sensor work, they're both fine until the motor starts. And once they start, the patterns go crazy. So he says, let's take the fan belt off. And I say to him, what are you shaking your head for?
I've seen an alternator problem.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
We've had that.
And
unplug the alternator, yeah.
Well, this one was the Chrysler with the internal and the wiring harness is internal, so they just pulled the belt off of it, and it ran like a dream.
Oh, my gosh.
Until Louie reaches over, and now the fan belt's off of it, so the alternator's not spinning, and he grabs a hold of the pulley, and he spins it, and it starts running bad. Then he stops it, and it starts running good.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of excited. This is it. This is, and we're talking about it. And they summon me, and they say, "Come on, come on, come on! We got it, we got it." So I said, okay, we need to run a test on this alternator to see what it was doing that caused this. Is the diode trio pattern bad? Is the voltage wildly fluctuating? What's going on? I walk away, and my son comes over, and he says, you know, you found it was alternator? And they go, yeah. And Louis goes, watch this. And he spun the alternator, and Alan looked at it, and he goes, yeah, that's it. So Alan walks over and picks up a hammer, and he smacks the alternator. And at that point, no matter how much we spun it, it ran fine. So we put the belt on it, and it ran fine. Now, it's still the alternator, but I am so mad at him for screwing up because I wanted to run a test. I wanted it to run. I wanted to figure out what was going on. Now, you ran across that.
We've been there.
All right, what was the alternator doing during that?
Sends out an AC ripple.
So the diodes.
And it goes back to the computer.
Okay.
And just it does all kinds of strange
things. It's a lightning storm going bad.
Right. And this is real common on Dodge diesel trucks.
I'll be darned.
We see it a lot. And we've gotten to the point where we just unplug it, before we start spending time anymore.
Where were you the last 4 days?
Oh, I got one I got to tell you about.
Okay.
We had this week. And I go through these periods where mechanics will work on something.
Uh-huh.
And I go, why is it taking so long?
Uh-huh.
You know, I come from this school of get it done.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rob was working on one.
I can tell you why, though. I want to interrupt you. It's the cell phones, the wives, the text messaging, the lunch trucks, the tool trucks.
That's
I can tell you. One owner to the other, that's the problem.
That's where it goes.
Okay.
Well, he was working on this thing just ran terrible. It was Dodge Dakota. So I went over with my great advice. Have you done this? Have you done that? And yeah, I've been there and done that. What we ended up finding on this thing, why it ran so poorly, was a bushing in the oil pump. Now, I went to Robin and I said, how in the world did you figure that out? And he says, well, it's firing two cylinders at the same time. And I go, well, what's that got to do with an oil pump? What it amounts to is the shaft from the oil pump goes down to the, or comes up to the distributor.
Right.
The bushing gets wallered out, takes the shaft and wallers it back and forth.
It.
And so then it sends the signal to the two separate cylinders and tries to fire two cylinders at the same time. This thing was backfiring, doing all kinds of strange things.
And it had nothing to do with valves, which is where you thought it was.
Yeah. I was, you know, this thing's way out of time. It's a timing problem, guys. You know, no, it ain't.
Oh, man.
So I said, you go back to this. How do you figure out the time?
Yeah.
You know, we spent probably 4 hours on this thing trying to figure out why it's backfiring. Have you done this? Yeah, I've done that, you know.
Oh. So this Dodge truck, why I really pulled the plug on this Dodge truck, the guy was really nice. He brought it to us after he had spent more than $1,000 guessing. The first time we fixed it, and we admit to we fixed it the first time, but we don't know. We didn't at the time think. We thought at the time we had done a perfect job. He had pinched the pickup wire coming out of the brand new distributor he had installed.
Oh.
Okay? So we just moved it over, wrapped it with one lap of tape, and set it in its groove and set it down, and it ran fine. So he took off, and the truck ran fine for 3 days. Then it was a no-start, which was the neutral safety switch. Then him and his guys worked on it for another couple days, so when it shows up at my place, it has a whole bunch of new parts, and it's a no-crank. Well, we never had a no-crank on it. Well, we had a crank, but no start, but we never had a no-crank. So the no-crank was a piece of cake. We got that situated, but then it started running bad. And I kept saying to the guys, there's two of us working on this truck, and we don't know what they did. I mean, we had it running perfectly before. But we don't know what they did, but they've been working on it, and we're working on it, and you know how that is.
Yeah.
You don't want somebody to bring their transmission in a shopping cart to your shop and hand it to you. So anyway, we were so excited. I mean, we celebrated like we were a bunch of...
Well, it's a great feeling when you finally solve something that's just puzzled you.
Yeah, yeah. Now, have you run across the Chevrolets with low oil pressure because of that O-ring right behind the front cover?
Did one Friday, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And we had one of those come in, and the first one's
That's
a tough one.
Yeah.
The first one's a tough one, but I insisted, and it wasn't through any skill or talent. I just insisted that we hook an external pressure gauge on it and see what we're at. And he came back with, this happens when this happens. But we've seen, like you have, we've seen a lot of them. And the symptoms on that are, intermittently, the lifters clatter. Yeah. Sometimes they'll be fine. Sometimes they won't be fine. And everybody wants to do lifters on that, which means you got to pull the heads on them, right?
Right.
You can't get the lifters out by just pulling the intake. You got to pull the heads. So we're talking about a $1,200, $1,500 job.
Yeah. And what happens when you're wrong?
You're wrong.
But you're right. The first one was puzzling. We found it by the oil pressure.
Yeah.
But we've also found now we can just pull the dipstick. And when that's doing that, your dipstick, when you pull it out, it's going to have bubbles all over it.
Okay.
Because it sucks so much air, it just foams it.
Okay.
That's an easy diagnosis for now.
Okay. I'll tell you how we figured something out the other day that was really kind of interesting. And we had an oil leak on two cylinders. And one of the guys said, I'm going to tape over all the holes on the motor. And he put a vacuum gauge on the dipstick tube. And he got 16, 18 inches of vacuum. And that explained why those two cylinders, but it wasn't valve guides. It was the intake gasket manifold. on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's. I've always said the codes. Now, we haven't talked a single code on any of these because everybody thinks that we're going to just ask the computer and the computer's going to go, oh, Bob, that's the alternator.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way. We had a code here on a cam and a crank signal lost, but in reality, it was lost because some electrical storm was going on within the system. So it wasn't that it was lost, it was being scrambled. But the computer couldn't tell you where to go. And again, he replaced everything that's known to man, and it still didn't fix the car.
Yeah. That was like this Dodge Dakota. The code was a misfire.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty common or obvious because you can hear it backfiring.
Yeah.
But had nothing to do with
normal. How do you call the customer and say, now he came to you and he said, I stopped by the auto parts store and this three-whiskered kid came out and he told me that I had a misfire and the new spark plugs and wires would take care of it. And you're going to call him back and say, you need a new oil pump. Now, how are you going to make that fly?
And I think we have that a lot where they have just come from AutoZone or some of the other places.
Yep.
And they said, this is what they say. How are you telling us something different?
Yeah. It's like those three whiskers.
Now, 1 minute.
Your highest tech in the last 5 years has made approximately what? Give me a range.
Labor-wise?
Yeah. Annually.
Oh, his wages?
Yeah.
About $75,000.
$60,000,
okay. Mm-hmm. If that kid was so dang smart, then he'd be working for you or me.
Yeah.
He wouldn't. He can tell you what's wrong with your car by just plugging in this little 1995 thing, and he's going to tell you what's wrong with it. And all they do is sell parts to people like this guy for $1,000. They sell lots of parts, and nobody ever goes back and says, you know what? I want you to buy this part back because it didn't fix it. And they're going to say, well, we didn't tell you it was going to fix it. We suggested that might be one of the things, but this is all about selling parts. This is a huge fraud thing as far as I'm concerned there. Yeah. Nevertheless,
it's tough.
When we come back, we're going to continue to talk. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, if you want to give us a call right now.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and shook his head.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem is here with Bob and Ellen Frisbee, who own Larry Harker's Automotive, 38th Avenue in Indian School. They've been on my best repair shop list since Jesus was a baby, and that's how old Ellen is, but Bob isn't. He's a young guy. How'd I do for you?
I appreciate that.
I think you could have switched that around a little. You're not trying to make any points with me.
It was on purpose. Okay, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and Art's our first caller. Good morning to you, Art.
Good morning. I have a... should be an easy question for you.
Okay.
I'm an old guy. I've been driving for 60 years.
Okay.
I know nothing about cars. You lift up the hood of a car and I get dizzy.
I can maybe
check the oil.
Are you a doctor?
No, I'm a retired school teacher, really.
Okay, all right. Well, you, next to veterans, you're second on my list, buddy.
Good. I'm also a veteran, so.
Yep. Then you're number one and number two.
Good. I've been retired about 9 years, but 10 years ago I got a 02 Dodge Ram. It always drove beautifully.
Okay.
But about, I said, on drive, it only has 90,000 miles on it. It's 10 years old.
Okay.
Because I retired, I just run errands for my wife and stuff like that. She's still working. So about 5 years ago, check engine light, come on.
Okay.
I go down the street where the guy does my check, changes my oil, He goes underneath, shuts it off, and it's good for 6 weeks, then does it again two or three times. So finally he says, okay, we're going to change the plugs, wires, and do whatever you got to do. So that was good for about two or three months, and it's same thing, check engine light. Took the Dodge dealer. Okay, they found, he said, I don't trust them. They found a spark plug that wasn't changed. What the hell am I going to, I don't know. I said, I know nothing. I'm going to argue with them.
Okay.
So the last place I went to Brake Master, they said, okay, it's carbon buildup. Oh, they'll keep it overnight, and they'll spray it.
Yeah, I hope you didn't do that.
Too late.
Okay.
But what happened was I planned, you know, our daughter, one of our daughters lives in Ohio, and I planned, I have a cap on my Dodge, and as my wife has all kinds of furniture, clothes, and a rolling machine, and I planned on driving in. So, okay, back out of my driveway, check engine light comes on, said the hell with it, my car's been, truck's been driving good for a year.
Okay.
So I drove like hell. You know, you go through Texas and New Mexico, and it's 85-mile speed limit, so you're doing 95. And so I drove to Ohio, pulled in a driveway. 5 days later, get in a truck to drive back home, the light's off. And that was 4 years ago. So 4 years ago, I figured, well, just blowing out the carbon, going that speed for hours and hours, took care of the problem. But hell, 3 weeks ago it came on again.
Okay. Well, what has to first of all, the most important question on my mind, Bob, if I can just step in front of you for a minute, is how is it that you're retired and you still got your wife to keep working? Those of us, we really want to know the answer to that. Okay.
Well, she's a few years younger than me.
Oh, okay.
More than a few years.
We can't answer. You don't. We can't answer the question.
Yeah, there's too many
variables.
Things, but
it's your question will be answered once somebody fixes the light. That everyone will know if the first guy was right, the second guy was right, the third guy was right. Everyone will know who was right once it's fixed. But you got to get it fixed first. And the question: how many codes are in his Dodge Ram?
A lot.
200.
Yeah, at least.
At least. So we don't know what the 200 is, and the. And the next question you have is why does it come and go every 3 months, 6 weeks, or whatever? And
yes.
And once you fix it, then we'll know the answer to that too. But you just got to get it fixed. And what you have to do is you have to plan on this kind of question. All right, Ellen, you're at the front counter. I'm the customer. So how much is your diagnostic fee?
Ours, well, it depends on what the problem is, but we start out at $90 an hour.
Okay, so... the diagnostic fee, you're going to tell me what's the matter with my car.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then what happens if I okay that and that doesn't fix it?
Well, to me, it's like going to a doctor and saying, hey, you haven't found the problem yet. Why am I paying for any of these tests?
Okay.
So we say we plan on 1 to 2 hours. We leave ourselves open to where we know it may not be found in the first hour. And sometimes... with these newer cars, it takes longer, and sometimes even more than 2 hours, as you probably very well know.
2 weeks.
And a lot of times you can't get paid for the more time you spend on it, but you still have to, you know, figure out what the problem is.
But now, let's say that you tell me it's in my EGR valve, and we put an EGR valve on it, and the code is a 1-2-3 code, and then a week later the light comes back on and we have the same code. Now, when that happens, I'm thinking, as the customer, that was a guess. So what? I want you just to make sure, Ms. Frisbee at Larry Harker's Auto, that you're fixing and not guessing, okay?
And actually, that's hard to do because sometimes you don't just have one problem; you have several problems. So a lot of times, it may come back on again because whatever stopped working could start working again, and then because we've seen it many times when they come in. That'll only work for maybe 20 minutes a day, and then it'll work for 4 days, and then it'll start acting up again. So we tell them, hey, there may be another problem, but when they call, we say, bring it back in and let us do some further testing.
Okay. And Bob, I want you to make sure you put the old EGR back in my truck, because if it comes back and we still have the 123 code and the EGR didn't fix it, then the first thing I want to do as a customer, I want to put the old EGR back in, and then let's go from there.
Correct.
And then, of course, obviously, Yeah, if it's a situation where it's a different code altogether,
right.
Then that's where you run into the catalyst issues and the evaporative issues and all that kind of stuff.
Well, we try to tell customers that if we have something that's multiple things, we may go and say, hey, this is an obvious. We have tested it. We know that this particular thing is bad. We need to fix this so that we can continue our testing and get some accurate readings.
2 minutes.
But if this is a guess, we also tell the customer,
yeah,
let's try this. If it doesn't, we'll pull it back off. And we have to kind of weigh out labor as parts in something like that. But there's a lot of times where we want to go in and say, let's fix the obvious, and then I need to continue. And get permission to do that and let them know that we need a dual problem here.
And what you're also saying is you're also saying, we're going to fix the obvious, which is your extended cranking. I'm going to fix that. Now, as far as the miss is concerned, I'm going to hope that this fixes both, but I'm going to fix this symptom with this repair. Guessing. Oh, boy, do I know about guessing. There's times where you just have to say, I'm either going to charge you $100 to $200 an hour to do it, but your Chrysler 2.2 liter four-cylinder has a bad pickup assembly that causes this exact problem. The pickup assembly is $40 and the labor to install it is $60. Are you sure you want to spend a bunch of money on the diagnostic side when I'm telling you that you have a 75% chance because your symptoms match perfectly this defective pickup assembly? You do that.
Right.
I do that too. Because what's the loss there? A $40 part?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to guess, we're telling them we're guessing with their money, but then if they get their, they get mad at us, okay, fine,
$40. Can I say one of the biggest questions I have when they ask when we do the checkout, is the labor then included in what you do to fix it? And that's the biggest thing where we say, no, it's not, because it takes our tech, all his knowledge, and his equipment, our equipment, to then figure out, and he has to be paid for that.
And we're going to talk about that, because you're right. We used to do that, but we're our own worst enemies. We used to do that. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. If you'd like to talk to us, Bob and Ellen Frisbee from Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue in Indian School. And my name is Mark Salem, and we're here to help you.
Thank you.
$1,000 car, mine cost $14,000.99.
99 cents. Welcome back, everybody. 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. I-17 and Bell on the east side of I-17. They've been open since 1992. Kurt is a good technician. He's got some fine staff from the service riders to the technicians. And he's been a member of good standing with the Better Business Bureau and with our best car repair shops list for a long, long time. So if you're looking for a good repair shop, or you want to compare your own to somebody that I think is the greatest, then go to Kurtz, I-17 and Bell in Phoenix, and give them a try, and you'll understand why I recommend Kurtz Auto Repair. Real quick, we were talking about the diagnostic dollars. Bob said during the break, and that's doing the show before the show, so I want to just counsel you on that.
Oh, sorry about that.
But it is true. In the days of the 60s and 70s, where you and I cut our teeth, you could diagnose, say what you said.
Well, half of them you could diagnose as they drove in the driveway, because you've heard it, you've seen it, and it was easy. And half the time it was our own fault. We would start putting dollar figures to that before, you know, the customer even asked.
Right. That's called today a parking lot diagnosis. Yeah. One of my guys went over the other day, and the tow truck's unloading it. The customer's standing there. He said, "What's the matter?" It cranks but doesn't start. He reaches in, he hits the key, and he goes, "Timing belt."
Yeah.
And I said to him, "You're an idiot." And he goes, "Why?" And I said, "Because if it's a timing belt, you're going to look like a hero. But if it's not, you're in big trouble." Because they're going to think you're an idiot. And so you don't do the parking lot diagnosis. How hard is it to just open the oil cap and look inside the motor to see if the cam's turning? Okay? Yeah. So come on, let's do it like we're supposed to. Let's be professionals. So I agree with you. And the diagnostic time is not convertible, because it's two separate processes. It's a three-step process. I have to get from point A, first base, to second base, where I know it's at. Then I have to do second base to third base to fix it. Then I have to verify the symptom's gone and I've done it. Now I'm at home plate. Mm-hmm. So you have to pay for each one. If you don't want to pay for the diagnosis, then okay, see ya. But it doesn't make any sense to do that, because I'm going to guarantee. The worst thing to do is take someone's diagnosis to another shop. Now, I don't know about you guys, but we don't do that.
No, we don't do that.
No, well, you're not going to bring somebody.
We have an answer for that, and it's basically, yes, I can do that repair, but I can't guarantee it. You're doing the diagnosis, so you're guaranteeing it. So if I put that part on, are you going to be upset with me if it doesn't fix it?
Well, the symptom. Right. Now, if you put the water pump on and it leaks, you got that covered because that's under a warranty. But if they think that the overheating is going to be fixed with the water pump and you put the water pump on and do it correctly and it doesn't fix their overheating, it's theirs.
Right.
They own it. All right, let's go to the phones. Rick, good morning to you, Rick. How can I help you today?
Well, I've got a 2003 Jaguar XK8, and I suspect this is going to fall back on the previous conversation a little bit, but I'm really frustrated. I've put four fuel pressure regulators on this car in the last 1,500 miles. It keeps blowing the diaphragm. It's a Ford-based fuel pressure regulator. There's no fuel return line, so with the vacuum opens the switch and
increases the pressure. It increases the pressure when the vacuum drops.
Right.
And what do you? How are you diagnosing this?
The plenum's full of gas, and it's blowing fuel through the diaphragm and into the vacuum line.
Okay, so have you plugged off the vacuum line and just left it alone? Will it leak gas out of the diaphragm?
Yeah, because the diaphragm is blown. It won't. That's where the switch is in the diaphragm.
Okay, so what's Jaguar? What has anybody told
you? 2 minutes.
Jaguar tells me it never happens. My mechanic told me it happens every 3 or 4 years and it's caused bad gas. I've replaced on their say-so mass airflow sensors. Last time it was spark plugs. Yeah. And I'm getting to the point where I'm really frustrated with this because every time they test it, they say, well, it's working perfect. Well, that's fine, but in 300 miles, it's not going to be.
Well, the what-if isn't going to get you anywhere, though. You got to know that. The what-if isn't going to get you anywhere. I service lots of the Jags. I service the XK8s and the XJRs, which is a supercharged model, and I haven't seen a fuel pressure. But I'm also bothered about the diagnostic process because pulling the line off and having it soaked with fuel is one thing, but why can't we have a leaking injector? Do we have any extended cranking?
No, the car doesn't run at all when this happens. When the fuel pressure regulator goes, it won't start. It'll crank all day. And all the time you're cranking, it's pumping fuel. I've taken a couple of quarts of gas out of the plenum once I pull it off, open the
That's more like an injector
speaker. You're wrong about your assumption. When you're idling, we're going to return a lot of fuel.
This is not my assumption. This is what I was told by the mechanic.
Okay, well, he's wrong.
Okay.
Because when you're idling, you have 18 inches of vacuum, and that gate is open somewhat because we're sending a whole lot of pressure that we don't need. When you dump the vacuum and you step on the throttle and open up the plenum and open up the throttle blades, the vacuum drops to zero, which slams the gate shut. So how is it that this no start is related to a fuel pressure regulator? If the fuel pressure regulator diaphragm was bad, it would still, the gate would still be half shut.
I know, having replaced them four times now, when you have the new part, and it's a Ford part, when you have the new part, you try and blow through it,
no
air passes through.
No. You're not going to sell me on that. First of all, you don't blow through a fuel pressure regulator. And you're assuming that it's the fuel pressure regulator is going to fail in this time frame. I'm suggesting something else is causing the fuel pressure regulator to fail in this time frame, if in fact it's even really failing. We have two sides of that diaphragm, and you got gas on both sides. There's a couple of reasons why.
There's only gas on one side of it. It's vacuum on the other side.
So, but you just said you had gas on both sides of the diaphragm because it failed.
When it fails, it blows gas through the diaphragm.
Okay. All right. Well, you've got a problem that flies in the face of what we know is happening. So that no start condition. Have you ever had any car come in with a no start condition that's a fuel pressure regulator?
No, not at all.
100% of the time, when the fuel pressure regulator is bad, it runs richer than heck, and you got O2 codes in every pocket in your pants, right?
Right.
So it's running rich. It's a secondary source of fuel. But starting and running is no problem.
No, I can't see that. All right. I can do that.
I can take a break. When we come back, we'll continue to take calls. Thank you very much, Rick. Good luck to you, buddy. And if you want to continue the conversation, go mark@marksalem.com, and I'll help you the best I can. mark@marksalem.com. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 45 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and Bob and Ellen Frisbee from Larry Harker's Automotive. They own a shop at 38th Avenue and Indian School. And Ellen runs the front end of the business, and does she handle the money?
She runs the business.
Oh, okay, okay.
I get to show up every now and then.
And you get to show up every once in a while.
I like the way that sounds.
And you know, we were just talking to the kids about having name tags and stuff, and it took like 2 months to decide what to put on the name tags because they didn't like what I wanted, and I didn't like what they wanted. So my point of view, she's the director, she's vice president in charge of operations.
That sounds good.
And you're the mechanical division guy. You're you head of the mechanical division.
I thought it was just whatever's left over.
That kind of is. That's how it works. Okay. Well, we talked a lot about the Jaguar during the break, and I think we're troubled by a couple of things. Number one, you've replaced a fuel regulator three times. And trust me when I tell you that I have a strong Jaguar base of customers, and I've never replaced a fuel pressure regulator. And my wife... I bought her a Jaguar in 2001, and we sold it just not too long ago, and she never replaced it, and we had 100,000 miles on it. The no-start symptom doesn't match a fuel pressure regulator. It just flat doesn't match. Now, Bob and I have been wrong before. Ellen and Renee will tell you that's the truth, but it just doesn't match.
Yeah, just especially when you're saying that you're getting enough gas to fill a plenum coming from a regulator. I would tend to... say, let's look at some injectors.
Yeah.
That's where your main fuel supply is coming from, and a common problem of flooding or sticking injectors, or even a computer that could be open and wide open. So, I'd say one regulator may be going bad, but to have that many, the law of average is against you. But okay. Let's take a look at something else before we throw another regulator on it.
And from shop owner's point of view, which you and I and Ellen kind of come from, if the technician wants to put a fourth one in, we're not going to let him do that. Yeah. We're going to get a second pair of eyes. We're going to do something different, but the last thing we're going to do is try. And besides that, what's the chances of Jaguar, as well as they work with us independent guys, what's the chances of them taking back the fourth regulator that didn't make it out of warranty?
Or the second,
yeah. So, I mean, it's just there's a problem. Now, I understand the frustration of having the dealer say this and the independent shop says this, and we get into that all the time, right?
Right.
It happens all the time. This is what I tell people. Just pick somebody to fix it, and we'll all know who's right. Because if they pick A, and he says, for sure, I'm going to fix it, and he doesn't, then he was blustering. He's over there beating on his chest, slapping himself on the back, and he doesn't deserve that. But on the other hand, if B takes your car and fixes it, then now we know who's telling us
the
truth.
Well, you know, and I always tell them when they call, because I always answer the phone, and I say, find it somebody you trust and you have confidence in. If you find somebody you trust and have confidence, I mean, we're not all perfect, that we do make mistakes, and we realize that, but if you trust them, you know that they're going to find the right answer. And sometimes it's not so easy.
And that's really... It's the communication. That's
right.
Where our industry falls down with our customers is we don't communicate appropriately, and the risks and the rewards and like you said, guesses. That's a hard thing to get my service writers to do, is say, we are going to guess. We are going to run this test, which means we're going to pull all the spark plugs looking for a head gasket. We're going to pressurize the cooling system, let it sit all night long on pressure, and we're going to hope that it spits water in the morning when we crank it over. Okay? So we're going to do that. But we just don't know. But you're going to spend $80 for that test. So we want to run the test. That will tell us definitively. And so let me ask you that. What is the criteria for a head gasket in your shop? Is the block test any, and is that it, or do you want more than that?
Well, yeah, we basically run a pressure test, but we use our infrared machine to pick up hydrocarbons in the cooling system. That one is about as close to being exact as I can have found.
Okay.
But then from that point, it's pull the plugs and then pressurize it. We have a remote camera that goes down into the cylinder. Mm-hmm. We can see after it's set for a few hours, do we have moisture getting in there? So nobody wants to pull a head off of a car unless they are 100% right, or at least 99.9% right.
Yep. All right, well, this portion is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located in Mesa, Main and Stapley, just east on the south side of the road. Main and Stapley, just east on the south side of the road. They've been in business. They're in the second generation, and they've been around since 1970. They handle everything major, minor, foreign, domestic, imports, big trucks, small trucks, anything. They're a AAA-approved shop, and they have ASE certification on Blue Seal, which means that they have lots of master technicians. Brian is on the TechNet Council for CarQuest, which is a council that helps industry come up with rules, and he was named the Business of the Year in 2009. So when you talk about a shop that's run by a couple, just like Bob and Ellen here, then you have Brian and Thelma, and they run Thompson's Auto Repair. But like Bob and Ellen, Brian and Thelma, Brian answers to Thelma. It's always, and I do too. You know, I dance to the music that Andy, my daughter, and Renee tell me to do. I eat lunch when they tell me to do, right?
I think I heard that saying, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So the guessing part's kind of hard, and it's just sometimes it just takes more time to figure out what it is. On head gaskets, how many times in your young life did you see someone pull heads and that didn't fix the car?
Oh, yeah, it's happened a few times, but we end up eating a lot of that. So
okay, but did
our
guesses,
you know, when we say it's going to fix it, we have to stand behind that.
Okay, but wait a minute. So I say to you, Bob, I'm really sure it's got a head gasket on your, you know, 4.3 liter Chevrolet, and so I'm going to go ahead and pull the heads. And after I get done, and I know I haven't fixed it, I'm going to call you back and say, Bob, after I got it all ready and everything like that, it's got a plugged radiator and it needs a water pump. Now, as a shop owner, what did I just say?
I missed some tests.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line.
Exactly.
We didn't follow procedure.
Exactly. But to the normal consumer, it's just that much more money. But I don't think sometimes they understand that this is where we're at. I had a caller from the radio show. He says, I took my car into a shop because the turpentine belt's broken. It's a Toyota. They tell me it's the water pump. I had the water pump replaced 2 years ago. They give me the water pump back. My bill is a lot of money. I take the water pump to another shop, and they say there's nothing wrong with the water pump. It's neither leaking or bad. But this other component they gave me is called a fan mount. And it's that big Y-shaped thing that does nothing more than hold the fan clutch, and it's belt-driven. Well, that's wiped out, the bearing, and that's wiped out. So the fan mount seized up and caused the belt to blow off. They looked at it and thought it was the water pump. So they bid the water pump, which is $180 worth of labor. So they went in, when they got to the fan mount and they found out it was bad, they called and said, oh, by the way, the fan mount's bad. Then they turn around and go in and do the water pump that was already done 2 years ago. There's no other reason for how this happened. He has both parts. They both belong to his truck. And the unfortunate part out is the fan mount is bad. But the fan mount and the labor to replace the fan mount is one-third of his bill. Mm. So it's an unfortunate situation, but that's what's happening a lot. Let me talk about one other shop real quick before we take the end of the time here. If you have a structural problem with your car, you've been involved in an accident, and perhaps the frame or the unibody of your car has been damaged, you need somebody with equipment that allows them to measure the body and the frame of the car right down to the thickness of a piece of paper. If they don't have that equipment, your car will never go straight down the road. You'll have tire wear problems. You'll have all kinds of problems. And that's why I recommend, for those of you up there in North Phoenix, in Anthem and New River, if you need a body shop, the best one in town is right around the corner from you, Phoenix Body Works. They're at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road. They do everything, and they're insurance company friendly. They'll work to make sure your car's put back the way it was before the accident. But don't ask them to do better, because they won't do that. The fact of the matter is everybody knows to put you back the way they found you. So you're not going to get a brand new paint job over the whole car when all that happened is the right front headlight was damaged. But in spite of all of that, they have the necessary equipment to get your car back to exactly the way it was. And frankly, half the body shops in town don't have the unibody structural integrity equipment necessary to make sure your car is perfect. So again, Phoenix Body Works, 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road. So business is good. And are you seeing right now lots of women or men coming in the front lobby?
You know, I'm really surprised, but a lot more women come in to our shop than men. And a lot of times the wife will bring it in instead of the husband's and feel very comfortable. you know, I think we're seeing a big change in the automotive field with women.
Now, if you had your druthers, would you rather have all men in front of you or all women in front of you?
I think I'd rather have all women.
And Bob?
I'm going to have to go with the women, too, because the women walk in and say, I have a problem. The men have a tendency to come in and say, this is what's wrong with my car. I've already done this, or I already know what it is. So the women are a little more susceptible. Can you explain to it? Can you tell me what's wrong and how come?
Have you ever had a man in the lobby make a noise for you, Ellen?
Meaning?
Like describing describe the noise?
Oh, I hear it on the phone all the time. You know, yes, I do.
But they won't do it in the lobby. But
no.
The women will.
Yes.
The women will do it in a lobby full of people.
Yeah.
You'll say, what kind? They'll make the noise for you.
Yeah.
I call them leather loafers and silk sock guys. They walk
two
in.
2 minutes?
And most of the time they're engineers. Okay? I have an affinity for engineers. I don't know if even affinity is the right word. Those are the guys that say, my water pump bad? Yes, sir. Why? I don't care why. It's bad. It's leaking. You want me to replace it or not? I think we need to do an autopsy and find out what the HC and the CO of the water is. No, sir, I'm not in the autopsy business. I'm just going to... Here's your choices. Yes, fix the water pump, or no, don't. Well, what's the pH of the cooling system? I don't care because I'm going to put new coolant in it, so it'll be perfect when I get done with it. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think the rear brakes have anything to do with that water pump going bad? Or could my kid been... You know, that's the kind of crap you get from those guys. Nevertheless, I'm with you guys, women. Women, like you say, they give you the symptoms. You say, now, when you're backing out of your driveway, are you turning left or right? They always have an answer. Unless it's the husband's car. And if it's the husband's car, they'll say, he didn't tell me that. Because you know what he said. You got a noise when I back out of the driveway.
1 minute?
It's not whether I turn to the right or turn to the left or if I'm going up or down. Lady came in the other day and she says, when he backs out of the driveway and we have a really long drive, as he hits the bottom, there's a clunk. And I said, okay, left, right, I'm asking her a question. She doesn't know. And I says, okay, I'm not even going to charge you for this, but just have him back into the driveway from now on and it'll go away. And she started laughing. And I said, because I don't have enough to work with here. I mean, or no, I'm really kidding you. I'll call him and ask him myself.
Our techs give me that because I write them all up. And if I don't have the proper information for them, they're going, what am I going to go on? So we have to ask all those questions. It's important.
Otherwise, how am I going to get to your house if I don't even know your zip code? And you say, go make two rights and a left and you'll be at my house. Well, where the heck am I starting from?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Thanks for spending your Saturday with me. Thank you very much, Bob and Ellen Frisbee from Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. And trust me, they're a really great place to go.
Thank you for having
me. Do you feel tired, worn?